You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Today we got Rachel Rayner, a science communicator and entertainer, here on the program. Good morning to you, Rachel. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, of course. Very, very happy to have you, man. You're over from Australia.
I am.
Which is, how do you find the flight? Was it okay?
It was delayed.
Oh, that's a bit infuriating.
That's all right, though. That's right. It was longer than I thought, because you have to fly. There's no direct flights between Sydney and Dunedin. Dunedin and the Gold Coast.
That's the only link. Yep. I've often thought if it's cheaper, because that's like that Gold Coast and Dunedin connection had only just opened like a week ago.
Yeah, amazing.
Very recent. I've thought, is it cheaper to go fly from here Gold Coast, then Gold Coast to Melbourne or Sydney?
Probably, there is a lot of discounted flights between Gold Coast and Melbourne or Sydney.
Really?
So if you can time it right, if you find those good discounts, it probably would be.
True. Were you flying with ANZ or Qantas?
ANZ.
ANZ, Carpi. I think, you know, some people knock on paying for more for flights, but I think if you're going to, like, be in a horrible, terrifying, existential, you know, death trap like a plane for like more than an hour, let's pay for a little bit of comfort, you know?
Yeah, and the wine was delicious.
The wine was good?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, New Zealand
so
wine
good.
Is
yeah.
Pretty killer.
That was my introduction, and I was like, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
This is great.
I'm glad to hear. We are going to be talking about your events at the ISF very shortly, but firstly, I'd like to run through a quick kind of favourites round to pick your brain about physics.
Ooh, yeah.
So,
all right.
Let's get into it. We are going to be talking about physics in just a second. Just need to get the ambiance. There we go.
All right. Great.
Okay. So,
metal is a very good element.
Metal is a great element. And speaking of elements, what is your favorite element?
Oh, what's my favorite element? Oh, they're all so cool. Do you know, it's probably hydrogen.
Hydrogen, just classic.
Just
you know,
the most basic element there is.
It's like half the universe.
Exactly. And that's it. It's half the universe. It's one proton, one electron. That's all there is to that atom, to that element. And it's so cool. And there's this weird quantum transition within the hydrogen atom that allows us to see the universe with radio telescopes.
Mm.
So, like, it's all this weird stuff that happens just at the fundamental level. And then it's the fuel of stars.
Mm.
So, yeah, what's not to love?
Hey, Jinx. Nice. I want to know, what is your favourite law of physics?
Oh, what's my favourite law of physics?
F equals ma.
It's just force equals mass times the acceleration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
who's
just...
Who's that? Who
that's just
came
Newton.
Up with that? That's Newton.
So it's classical.
Mm-hmm.
It's classical.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not very exciting, really, in the classical world being like, you know, if you drop an apple, it hits the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the quantum world, you drop an apple, it appears in another universe and dimension.
It turns into an orange.
Yeah. Something like that.
What's your favourite subatomic particle? We're talking electrons, neutrons.
Yeah.
We can go quarks if you want.
Muons. Yeah. Muons are a cosmic ray. They're a slightly heavier electron.
Mm-hmm.
So you got electrons, muons, taus, because all subatomic particles come in three generations.
Mm.
So electron, muon, tau, electron. And the muon is... So it's a cosmic ray. We can detect them here on Earth because when particles hit our atmosphere, they go through transitions and change, and one of them is the muon.
Mm-hmm.
But it's traveling at the speed of light as it comes through our atmosphere. So time is being dilated, length is being contracted. So it hits the ground in a time that like it should have disappeared in our upper atmosphere, but because time and space has no relativity to it can hit the it can get to the surface of the Earth, and we can detect it there.
Wow, that's awesome. Yep. And lastly, we'll keep it simple. Celestial body, favorite celestial
My
body.
Favorite celestial body.
It could be a type of star. It could be a certain star. It could be a planet. Whatever you think.
Yeah, exoplanet, galaxy. If anyone wants to look up great images of other galaxies, the Sombrero Galaxy is very good.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to say a Magnetar is my favourite celestial
Never
body.
Heard of that.
Yeah, right. It's a
sounds like a Pokemon.
There are so many things out there that could be. So a Magnetar there's a realm of celestial bodies called neutron stars, which are stars that have exploded, collapsed
stars.
In on themselves. Yeah. So a Magnetar is a type of neutron star, but it's one that has got this incredibly strong magnetic field. So they're the strongest magnets in the universe, and that's a magnetar.
Awesome. Okay, well, thank you. I did not know about magnetars until now. I love neutron stars. Neutron stars are awesome. Pulsars.
Pulsars, type of neutron star.
Yeah. Yeah, they're fantastic. We'll bring back the nice cool jazz. All right. Now, I want to touch into your philosophy very briefly, because on your website, you say you've got a background in the arts and sciences, and you say that you can't do one without the other, as they're both different ways to ask questions, and they're both different ways to get certain answers. I want to know, how do you think that they do that in their own respective ways? And what's so special about embracing both the sciences and the arts instead of just one?
How can you not? I got carried away by the second question. What was the first question?
How do you think the sciences and arts investigate and find answers in their own ways?
Yeah, I think, let's take science to begin. I think it's questioning the universe. You'll see something happen, like to go back to the apple falling and go back to Newton being like, the apple fell. Why did it fall? And then sort of investigating, why did it fall? And that was actually, you know, thought experiments, because you couldn't really experiment with gravity in that way at the time. So it's that creative thinking about seeing something happen and thinking creatively about what causes that to happen, and then doing an investigation and asking more questions and kind of peeling off different layers of experience to go, what is actually happening here? And then that's science. And then arts, I think, is like seeing something that's happening in the world and reacting to it and going, why have I had this reaction? How do I get others to have this reaction? And sort of exploring that phenomenon and that experience and asking questions of it and looking under different boxes and just kind of, that exploring and observation, I think, is very much what's happening in both. They're documented in different ways, I'd say. Like, you think of an artwork as one particular type of documentation of the experience and asking questions of our universe and our place in it. And then science, you know, the output is a scientific paper or a bit of research then fuels something else. And I think we tend to, part of our habits of thinking of them differently, I think, comes from we think of the process of science, but we think of the output of art. We don't think so much about the process of art, which is so similar to the process of science. It's going through each of these steps. You really need to know your materials. You need to know how those materials react and change in different contexts. So I think we think about science as the process of the science and not the final output, which can just be a beautiful, like if you look at scanning electron microscope images, they're beautiful works of art. Photos of the galaxy, they're beautiful works of art. Yeah, but we consider more the process that went behind that, which is very scientific, when, you know, each piece of art has a very scientific way of process that goes into it.
So putting those two things together, what does that blossom into for you?
Blossoms into everything. Well, I think that's it. There is science and art in everything we do. Like I did a poetry workshop yesterday with a wonderful group of people where we just really dived into poetry and the science poetry. And, you know, poetry has meters and feet and you can measure poetry. You don't always want to, but you can do that. And it's really helpful if you want to try and get to a particular style. So I think bringing them together, thinking analytically about what you're doing and thinking artistically and creatively about what you're doing can really just bring about great results.
Awesome. I want to touch on your background a little bit further, because out of the three events you're doing / have done, two of them are pretty physics heavy, which makes sense because you did physics and art history at university. What appealed to you? What did physics appeal to you rather than, you know, biochem?
actually, in my show on Friday, I make fun of the other sciences. So you have been warned. No, it's all lovingly. I like physics because it's really looking deep into what is our experience, what is happening. And people call it the dry science. I'm okay with dry. Like, I don't like sticky messes. I'm okay with dry. And I love that physics looks at the really, really tiny, like, as you said before, subatomic particles, but then also space. You know, it's looking at how those subatomic particles move around an enormous magnetar in the depths of space. Like, goes from the really small to the really big. Not so much in the middle, but, it's got those both extremes. And I think that's just fantastic. Like, these atoms that are swirling around us, you know, you and I, we're mostly nothing. Because our atoms are mostly empty space.
Yeah.
And yet here we are, and you look very solid. You look, very dense.
Oh, no.
All that brain matter. Good brain matter.
No, I respect that. I think I like physics in that way because it seems like it's very attached to existentialism in a massive way. And I love biology for the same reason. Chemistry, I can give it to you. Chemistry's kind of in.
It does have all the solutions, though.
Very true. Literally. Literally. Yeah. Now, you've done science poetry yesterday.
Yes.
What were some of the poems that people created? Can you remember any?
Oh, we had some wonderful ones about, you know, celestial messengers, and we had a list of words that to kind of explore. I got a bunch of scientists to just give me their favourite words from their field. One of them is Brewster's window, which is actually a way. It's a window that's used to refract light within optical fibres. But so it's like, oh, is there a Brewster window to the soul? You know, so it was just that, the kind of playing with language that was really lovely.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. When did you start making science poems?
Oh, gosh. I think I always have. I've been writing poetry for as long as I can remember. And I think as I got older and I started to study more in science and just opening up the world and like discovering quarks. I remember writing about quarks when I was like 15, being like, oh my God, look at these things. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just always just been a natural thing that I love the words in science. I love the language. So I'm like quarks, photons, gluons.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They're just all there and they're all delicious and should be in poetry.
I think you can easily see them as and write them off as a bit terrifying.
Yeah.
But I think if you flip it on your head, like you're saying, they're a lot of fun to say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because they don't have to be terrifying. I think these concepts are so big, they can be really terrifying if you're constantly being like, oh, wow, I am tiny and insignificant. Yeah. Don't do that. We're part of a wonderful cosmic story.
Well, actually, I want to touch on that because Atomically Correct, 25 yes. shows, is described as a one-woman theatrical comedy about quantum physics that delves into language, lies, and quantum-level realities. Mm. Does quantum physics ever freak you out? And do you think we'll ever be able to understand that whole world? Or do you think we'll just kind of be operating it, you know, an ant looking at a human trying to figure out what that
human's
doing?
Yeah. There's something really interesting I read that, like, you know, the human mind may not be able to understand the universe in the way a you know, in the way a beautiful cow cannot understand quantum physics, you know, so it's like We have, there's limits to our actual, you know, capacity as meager beings in the cosmic universe. There's a famous quote that says, if you understand quantum physics, you've missed something.
Mm.
So I don't know if we're ever fully meant to understand all of it, really. And that doesn't scare me. I think that's exciting. Like, yeah, the universe is allowed to be smarter than us. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, fair. It just seems like, you know, humans always try and control things often. And maybe surrendering that control actually is a much better way of navigating the universe.
Yes. And I think that just let it surprise you. Let it bring wonder. Let it have a little bit of mystery, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just really interesting. There's so much, and there are so many big questions that are still unanswered that, you know, we're still just kind of exploring, and it'll take some really creative thinking to kind of go, oh, I hadn't thought about it this way before. Maybe that is what's happening.
For sure. A Flying Photon, that's another show of yours, features wine experiments, more poetry, and more quantum mechanics. What differs this quantum-heavy show to Atomically Correct?
Yeah, so Flying Photon was about photons, so the whole spectrum of light. Mm. So light goes from gamma rays to radio waves. There's so much more than the light that our eyes can see. Mm-hmm. There's a whole spectrum of light that the universe kind of revels in. So that was a Flying Photon. And then Atomically Correct is about the atom, and it's about the subatomic particles that make up the atom. And then, you know, how are we part of the universe? How are our atoms engaging with the universe? And, you know, we have the universe inside of us many times over because we are atomically correct.
I love that sentiment so much. I want to thank you for coming on the program today.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. It's been a real pleasure talking to you about your shows. Have you got any, like, lovely words of wisdom or words of kindness for our listeners out there?
Oh, well, you know, we talked about how atoms are mostly nothing. And so, you know, if I took all the empty space between the atoms out of me and made me a atom, then I'd be smaller than a pea, but I'd still weigh the same. So I would say that even though we're mostly nothing, we still matter.
I appreciate that. That's real nice. If people want to go see your shows, where can they do so?
Yes. So I'm just off the Octagon. Mm-hmm. I love this. Everyone's just like, just the Octagon in here. Like, it's really your point of reference.
Yeah, it is.
So just off the Octagon, Friday night at 7:30 and Saturday, I think at 3, so I can get to the rugby.
Awesome. Nice.
Yes. We can all go to the rugby after.
And you can see the All Blacks kill. they'll go crazy.
Oh no!
I hope so. Well, not literally kill, but they'll do a great job. If you're interested in buying tickets, you can do so at scifest.org.nz. Thank you for coming on the show, Rachel.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. And the festival is just incredible. I've been seeing so much as well.
Awesome. I'm glad to hear. We're going to play a really.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.